Coolio got his start in the Los Angeles rap music scene in the late 80s and early 90s, and he hit it big when the producers of the movie Dangerous Minds chose his song Gangsta's Paradise for the soundtrack. It went to the top of the charts and won him the Grammy Award for the Best Solo Rap Performance back in 1996. In all, Coolio has sold 30 million records worldwide. Coolio will be in Lansing for a concert at the Loft Thursday night, and current state Scott Pohl talked with Coolio last week. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Real good.
Good.
Tell us what Coolio has been up to lately.
Well, you know, last week, Coolio turned 50 on the day after we spoke. It was one of those morning edition birthday announcements, and I heard it the day after he and I spoke. I wish I'd known when when I was talking with him that he was about to turn 50. He's still touring, still recording. His most recent album is called From the Bottom to the Top. It came out in 2009. He's done some acting, and he's also into some other things these days, as you'll hear. You'll have to listen closely. We didn't have a very good phone connection. You might want to turn your radio up to hear our conversation. He told me about getting interested in rapping in the late 80s and early 90s when the early records by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five and Run DMC came out. He did it for fun, he says, and it took a while to discover that he could make a living as a rapper.
I think in the beginning I wasn't really worried about making money in it. And you know, I saw people around me that was starting to become successful in it, and it wasn't probably until the mid 90s where I thought maybe, you know, to give it a shot to try to make money from it.
And was it fun?
Absolutely. I mean, it's still fun. I mean, I wouldn't say so much I like the business so much. I mean, I like the actual act of rapping, you know, like being on stage and doing it live and watching people's reactions to it.
Were you ever part of that West Coast, East Coast rivalry?
Everybody was. I mean, you had to be. I mean, you had to pick a side. And so I think, yeah, maybe I was a little bit.
You were able to avoid the violence that was associated with it.
I had a lot of friends from the East Coast, so that kind of, you know, that kept it in perspective for me.
Does it linger to this day with anyone?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You really hit it big with Gangsta's Paradise from the movie Dangerous Minds. I wanted to ask you if you think the song made the movie or did the movie make the song?
I think they each made each other. Yeah, I think it worked really well together.
Money and the power, minute after minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen, but I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
Everybody had their own interpretation of what the song was. The original interpretation for me was, I kind of thought it was about the hood and about the way things went on when the door was closed. But I think that once the song came out, even my opinion of what the definition of it was changed, which in my definition of it became whatever the individual feels that it is.
Did the movie people come to you because you already had this song, or did you write it for the film?
Well, no, they came through my manager, and he was really successful at the time because he had just got a lot of people, you know, record deals. And they asked him what kind of music he had, and so he started playing some stuff, and he played Gangsta's Paradise. And it was a lady named Kathy Green that did musical acquisitions for Disney. She said, oh, my God, I love this song, and I want it, just like that.
I have to ask you what you thought of the Weird Al Yankovic parody, Amish Paradise.
In the beginning, I wasn't too happy with that. But, you know, I think that was one of the mistakes I made in my career. It was even saying something about that. If I could go back, I'd take that back. And, you know, I mean, who am I? You know, Weird Al did Michael Jackson, he did Prince, he did. I mean, this wasn't right. I shouldn't have said anything.
You know, I don't usually ask artists about their hair, but you've really maintained a distinctive look. Where did that look come from?
It just happened. You know, I used to get my hair braided down, and in 3 days it'd be sticking up. So one day I told the girl, I said, "No, man, I'm so tired of this. I said, braid it all up then." And that's how I started.
I'd like to hear what you think about how rap and hip-hop music have evolved over the last couple of decades that you've been in the business.
Well, I think it's evolved some for the better, some for the worse. I don't think that the whole spectrum of what hip-hop could be is it's not well. I mean, it's too one-sided. People need to start rapping about more different things so that we keep that 360-degree circumference around the music. But right now, it's not.
The biggest rap stars these days are people like Jay-Z and Eminem and Kanye West. How do you think they stand up against predecessors from your era?
You know, I mean, they're okay. But to me, I think they're reasonable facsimile. You know, I don't think they're a genuine article. They're good, and that's all I can say. But I just don't think they don't take it serious enough. They rap for money. We rap because we love to rap. And I think they rap more for the money than anything. Except for Eminem. You know, I say Eminem does it from the heart.
How do you stay fresh after all these years, a couple of decades under your belt as a rapper? How do you maintain your energy level? How do you stay fresh?
Well, you know, I got my nephew around me all the time, my son, and they rap. I got some young cats, some young boys in the hip hop. It's three generations of hip hop in my family now, my nephew, my son, and me.
And you're mentoring younger rappers then?
Absolutely. And they mentoring me back.
There are a couple of things outside of music that you've gotten involved in that I'd like to hear about. One is the Beatmaker app that you have at the Apple Store. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, actually, I think it could have been a lot better. And we're trying to, we're trying to revamp it and make it easier to use and a lot more fun. And, you know, hopefully somebody will make a hit song with my Beatmaker. In the beginning, I thought it was just a little difficult to use. So, like I said, we're just looking to make it easier now.
Dating back to like 2008, 2009, you started getting involved with cooking. You put out a book called Cooking with Coolio, 5-star meals at a 1-star price. You have a YouTube channel of Cooking with Coolio. How did you get interested in cooking?
I've been cooking since I was a little boy. You know, the last decade or so, I just got more into it. You know, my mother passed away, and that's probably the biggest thing that got me into it. I just wanted to eat again. I wanted to enjoy my food again, and I wanted things to taste like my mother's. And I knew that, you know, if I wanted that, I was going to have to learn how to do it myself.
Do you dip into your mom's recipe box?
Well, you know, I couldn't find my mom's recipe box, so I just had to start asking people, how did my mom do this? How did my mom do that? And then from that, I got what her basic schemes were, and then I was able to figure it out after that.
Well, listen, Coolio, thank you so much. I hope folks will stop by the Loft in Lansing on Thursday the 8th to check you out. I'm really glad we had a chance to talk.
That'll do, man.
For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.
And Coolio appears Thursday night at the Loft on East Michigan Avenue in Lansing. Doors open at 8 p.m.